Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
All right, what is going on, faithful? Coming to you live from Levi's, from the wonderful Chapman Mobile. Just finished, 49ers at Broncos, joint practices, training camp. It was quite a day. It was one of the longer practices for sure. And it was hot. Not too hot by any stretch, but couple very, very quick takeaways. Probably the biggest news item of the day. Mikael Williams, the second team period, got injured, lower leg, looked like his left leg, but not positive, was down on the ground for a couple minutes. Fred Warner, Bosa run over there. They're checking up on him. They help pick him up, walk to the locker room gingerly. It wasn't a cart off situation. Definitely, it looked rough. I did not see the actual what caused him to hit the ground, but that's definitely number one. Yeah, your first round pick who you tried to trade up for and who has taken basically every single first team rep through training camp thus far, it's a big deal. Absolutely horrible news. Hopefully he's okay. Hope for the best type of situation and kind of what's going on there. But Mikael Williams injured and walked gingerly to the locker room with trainers. So we'll have to see what they say there. And I'm sure they're going to do MRIs and tests and whatever else. And, this is a player who played all of last year at Georgia with a high ankle sprain, played through it and played well, but still a major, major thing to watch as somebody who has had, a lower leg injury. I don't remember if it was his left ankle, but it looked like it was his left leg that seemed to be the problem as he was walking off. Now, a couple other things, just the Broncos won the day. There is no doubt about that. Like anybody who tells you the 49ers were kind of, step for step with the Broncos, I think that is crazy. The Broncos were the better team today. Now, you don't keep score and you don't do whatever, but that Broncos offense and defensive line pretty much had their way. I would argue Brock Purdy did not look good today really at all. There were so many times when, whether it was Mac Jones, Brock Purdy, or Carter Bradley, and they weren't even getting the pass off, and they were having to blow the play dead because players were covered, pressure was so intense, all those things. So Niners definitely lost the day. The optimism, it's not like totally a woe is the season and everything's done by any stretch, but the Broncos controlled offense, defense, and special teams today, and I would say it was probably not particularly close. Doesn't mean there weren't great plays had by the 49ers defense and great plays had by the 49ers offense. It definitely, those took place. But the Broncos were able to move the ball pretty much at will consistently and just, kind of staying on par, whereas the 49ers did not. Probably the worst part of the practice for the 49ers was, they went to red zone period, and it was 8 straight plays with no touchdowns in red zone team, 11 on 11, and it was, 0 for 8, and it was move the ball period. So, you'd start at the 20, first and 10, and you had 3 plays to get a first down. Niners didn't go back. They had, this many plays to get another first down, didn't, went back. And it was kind of like 3 and outs. And then they scored back-to-back touchdowns, finally a CMC kind of check down play, and then Jordan Watkins. If you're looking for, something positive to come from today's practice, Jordan Watkins was awesome. The 49ers, they even put out this clip on their social media. It was kind of one-on-one against Patrick Surtain, physical, bumping each other, all that stuff. And, Patrick Surtain falls down. Jordan Watkins would have scored on a 45-yard touchdown. I mean, it was incredible. And Jordan Watkins would have scored on a couple other plays, quick slants. There were three slants in team period where he just totally broke off in front of the wide receiver or in front of the corner. And one of those was Patrick Surtain. And the other corner, number 12, I'm not sure the Broncos depth chart and roster, but they're number 12. Jordan Watkins was all over the place today. And a big reason why, Ricky Pearsall was in bubble wrap. They were not giving, you know, Ricky Pearsall kind of the number one wide receiver, whatever. And you could say the same for DeMarcus Robinson, too. They were on a pitch count. They were not out there playing play out. And it kind of makes sense when you look at that the 49ers are struggling at the wide receiver position, just keeping their guys healthy out there. I mean, it's hard. So Pearsall and DeMarcus Robinson weren't getting the same snap count that a lot of the other number one offense or defensive players were getting for the 49ers. You know, I wanted to see, and I asked on Twitter today, you know, before practice, what is it that you want to see? And everybody's like, I want to see Ricky Pearsall versus Patrick Surtain. It didn't happen a lot. You know, whatever. They went one-on-ones. Ricky Pearsall, like, literally wasn't getting any snaps. He was hanging out talking to Shanahan. So you could tell that they were 100% on a pitch count for Pearsall, who's been the player of the camp. And he did make a couple plays. Did have a nice out route. It was kind of a quick out for about 6 to 7 yards against Surtain. That was probably his best, you know, number one on number two. One for the 49ers, Pearsall, number two for Surtain. But that was one of the things that I wanted to see was, how will Pearsall do against an elite corner? I would argue one of the best corners in the NFL. We didn't get to see it. We really, really didn't get to see it. So this was not a high kind of Pearsall day. It was a bad Brock Purdy day. Christian McCaffrey looks the part. You can tell that he is him, and he just makes everything go so smoothly. But, you know, right here, how did our offensive line do against the Broncos? The Broncos controlled, absolutely controlled, dominated inside drill, team drill, red zone drill. It was not even close. And now you do have to understand, the Broncos have maybe the best defense in the NFL. I've been saying that all offseason. On paper, how's that going to translate? Potentially the best defense. Drake Greenlaw didn't play. Huff, you know, there was one play in team. It was red zone drill where 11 on 11s, they did an end around to Ricky Pearsall. Hufanga would have knocked him out of the game. Like, I mean, it was one of those classic Hufanga flying through it, read it perfectly. Probably would have been a 4 or 5 yard loss. And it was just like, oh, dang, man. He read that to a T. Hufanga was all over the place. It was cool seeing him. You know, he made a purpose to go up and say hi to as many Niners players, coaches, whatever else. But, yeah, the offensive defensive lines were dominated today by the Broncos. There is no doubt about that. Now, linebacker play, a little bit of a different story. D. Winters was everywhere. Like if you're looking for positives on the 49ers defensive side, D. Winters is him. Like, coverage, unbelievable in one-on-ones. All those different things. Like, just so freaking good. It's so great. D. Winters is him, and it's not close. Fred Warner. We all know what that is. Nick Martin struggled. Nick Martin's got a gigantic chasm to catch up as far as coverage goes. He had some nice stops and team in the run game and all those things. He's got to get more polish and get to his drops. As a coverage guy, have not seen that very much. And, you know, I know that the argument has been like, oh, well, your three linebackers are going to be Fred Warner, D. Winters, and Nick Martin. I don't think Nick Martin is even the four. I don't think he's the five right now. He's got a long ways to go. I would argue the linebacker depth chart, Fred Warner, D. Winters, those are your two clear-cut, one and two. Luke Gifford's awesome. He's taken all the reps with the first team at that same spot. Tatum Bethun flashed a lot today. And then I would probably go Nick Martin. So you kind of have to see where that – obviously, Nick Martin's going to make this roster. It's just he's got to learn the coverage aspect of it. He's great in the run. He's great at tackling. The physicality's there. All that's there. I love the energy that he plays with. He's just got to work in coverage. And you remember, he's coming off an injury. And so, like, man, if you're wanting to be hyped on this rookie class, Mikael Williams goes down with an injury. Alfred Collins looked all right in team. He didn't get a lot of snaps either. He was on a pitch count, you could tell. He looked all right, stuffed the middle, stuffed the run, did his job, but nothing too flashy. CJ West got a sack against Quinn Meinerz. That was awesome. But CJ West, who was working with the ones today, he was out there with the starting defense pretty much every single time. He got washed down way too many times in the run game. And so, like, that was a little bit of an issue. There were some gaps that he was leaving in the run game. You're going against Quinn Meinerz. You're going to have some, I mean, that's basically a Pro Bowl guard. You're going to have some issues there. But overall, good practice. So, like, you're seeing CJ West. He's impactful. He's close to the backfield. Would have had a sack for sure against Quinn Meinerz. That is gigantic. But, man, Kalia Davis, he was the other starting defensive tackle, was awful. Washed down almost every single play. Like, there is a major need. Jordan Elliott didn't practice today. So, a lot of these young players for the 49ers were getting a lot of reps. But, man, you know, it's what it is. Now, Sebastian Valdez, you know, a lot of people are talking about he was getting reps with the two. So him and Alfred Collins were the Bravo group. I did not think had a good practice at all. He got a couple strong pushes, got washed out of the gap a couple times, didn't get pushed back into the blockers against Duo, which the Broncos do run. But I didn't see a lot of plays. I know a lot of people are probably going to spin that however they want to spin it. But, you know, I was watching 55 out there as much as possible. It's not like he had a bad day or anything like that. It's just there. It was not consistent run game protection or production. He was not in his gap, kept getting washed out of his gap. Broncos were doing whatever they wanted to on offense, literally whatever they wanted to. Coverage was good, probably. And again, if we're looking at the back end and you want to be excited about the 49ers defense, the two players that I think stood out in secondary wise, Upton Stout, that dude is mean as hell. Run game, check. Physicality, like the second play a team, there was some chirping going back and forth, and Upton Stout, you see 20 coming out of nowhere, trying to talk trash to an offensive lineman. He was ready to throw down. And Diamondor Lenore came right up beside him, and it was just like these two little barking hyenas. Like, I'm telling you, Upton Stout is him. Coverage, check. Run game, check. Fit, check. Passing off the routes, you know, he got the starting nickel reps today. Upton Stout did. You're seeing bunch trips, which was Nick Sorensen's kind of, you know, he was terrible at everything, but he was god-awful at that. Man, gets his hands on the front man, passes him off for number one, cutting across the face, perfect transition in 7-on-7. You saw it work in team. You saw it in one-on-ones. Like, Upton Stout is him. I did not see Andre Dillard. I wasn't paying attention too much to the 49ers offensive tackle rotation. Might have been out there. I did not see him. I was not paying attention to the offensive line for the 49ers offense. I was trying to watch the defense as much as possible. Upton Stout, fire. Dallas Flowers. That dude just continues to stack. Good game, good rep, good day, good rep, good day, over and over again. I think he's probably going to be the starting number three corner. Dallas Flowers was out there with the ones today. Good, man, had a huge pop in the run game, which was awesome. Came up, showed physicalities. He's probably the best corner with the deep ball. I'd go Diamondor Lenore than Dallas Flowers. He has that top-end speed that I thought really, really showed out. I was very, very hyped. Dallas Flowers continues just to show he's that number three corner. And so you've got Renardo Green when he comes back. You have Diamondor Lenore. And then if you're a nickel, Upton Stout, cool. And if you want to keep all three of your kind of whatever, kick Demo inside, and then you could have Dallas Flowers. But Demo's not taking any nickel snaps at all. So that is something to for sure keep in mind. A lot of people keep asking about Mikael Williams. Yes, went down an injury. Looked good. Looked really, really good. Made it through the entire first team. Didn't really make a lot of plays, but you can tell he is where he belongs. He was bullying Mike McGlinchey for about a three-play series, then they flipped sides. Bosa went over there, and Bryce Huff went over to Mike McGlinchey's side. But not that that's anything to write home about. That is what happens. But the injury to Mikael Williams, that's definitely the big news. I do not have any information on that besides the fact that he was favoring his left leg. Don't know if it was a knee, ankle, foot, whatever. Do not know. We will see that. Now, this probably needs to happen. Darrell Luter Jr. is by far the worst player on the field every single day, every single rep. Everybody torches this guy like crazy. Did have some good special teams play. He did have a really good play in the run game. But you're talking one-on-ones or 7-on-7 or team. Wherever Darrell Luter is, somebody's wide open. I mean, wide open. During team, he gave up back-to-back 20-yard plays at one point, then made a somewhat decent run feel on the third play. So, like, does that redeem? I mean, they're just picking on him. And whoever 26 is guarding, it's not going well by like any stretch at all. It is terrible. So, Darrell, he was getting work with the ones, then Dallas Flowers took his spot, then Trey Brown took his spot, and he just keeps falling. I have no clue what. I was kind of shocked that Eli Apple got cut. I would have cut Darrell Luter Jr., but he does provide some special teams upside if you count not having any situational awareness, causing a turnover in the Super Bowl, causing turnovers to run into your own punt returner. But he fits the special teams prototype: height, weight, speed, physicality. Darrell Luter, I'm sorry, I'm completely out on. Now, I do want to go through some of the play-by-play one-on-one, some players that stood out just for my notes. I've got 4.5 pages of notes I want to go through right after this.
Your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. Gear up for another banger of a football season with a full-service sportsbook and casino in one. Whether you're firing off futures, betting the spread, spinning the slots late at night, everything runs through one account, one wallet, no switching apps. MyBookie has it all. Right now is the perfect time to get ahead of the curve with college football kicking off August 23rd. MyBookie's got national championship, Heisman odds already live. Lock in your picks early before the lines start moving. And if you're brand new, you get a little extra juice. Sign up with promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan this QR code next to me. Drop in $100. MyBookie adds $50 for free. Go bigger, get more for your money. The action's heating up, the odds are moving, and this season is shaping up to be a good one already. Don't miss it. Bet big anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, including California, with MyBookie. This episode is brought to you by PrizePicks. You and I make decisions every day, but on PrizePicks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on PrizePicks, where it's good to be right. Now, I played Prize Picks for over 3 seasons straight, and my favorite thing about it is just how easy it is. You pick more or less on 2 to 6 stat projections. If you get the picks right, you cash in. It's that easy. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Some of the early week one things that you could put in on: Saquon Barkley, more or less than 1 rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow, more or less than 2.5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. You want to focus on 49ers? Guess what? They've got it loaded on there. Brock Purdy, more than 12 or less than 12 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, 71.5 rushing yards, more or less. You pick 2, you get it right, you get paid. Download the app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, let's get through just some of my play-by-play notes. Again, you can't have your phones out during, team period and all that stuff, so I'm just kind of jotting down play notes. It was important, a couple just roster things. Jacob Robinson, the undrafted free agent, worked exclusively at outside corner, had a really, really bad day. I think he's going to be a slot only. That experiment, I just don't see. They're trying to see if he can have inside-out versatility. Maybe he can in the future, but Jacob Robinson had a really bad day at outside corner. He needs to be a slot only. Again, you know, guys that were back, CMC was back, Trent Williams was back, even though he didn't do a lot of team. Bosa was back, did do some team. Kyle Juszczyk was back. Players who were not out there, Jordan Elliott and Jordan James, the rookie, not out there. Corey Kiner and Amir Abdullah. Patrick Taylor Jr., Amir Abdullah, just keep gaining. Just keep gaining. Several plays in team. Both of them look really, really quality. And Amir Abdullah, he's getting reps as punt returner too. So that special team's little upside, I think that's there. Really, John, off one practice. No, not just one practice, off of several practices, but that's okay. You want to be upset, that's okay. You clicked on my face. This is just my notes from what happened at practice today. I'm not worried. I'm saying it was a bad practice. I'm saying the Broncos were the better team in all three phases. That does not mean it's going to be a bad season. I'm just telling you what it was today. There's no doubt in my mind who the better team was today. Now, if they play a game, which they will on Saturday, that doesn't mean, and the 49ers are kind of notoriously known for not being the best at these joint practices. That's not what they do. And it was a totally different MO from the start. You had the 49ers warming up on one field and you had the Broncos next to them. The Broncos were out about 20 minutes before the 49ers even started showing up. Now, that's to be expected because they're not used to this field, this stadium, the schedule, so test the field, all that stuff. On top of that, the Broncos stretch. The 49ers do not stretch, ever. They do some dynamic warm-up drills, and kind of high knees and lunges and whatever else. No. The Broncos got out there and stretched. In line, sit down, right hamstring, left hamstring, butterfly. All right, let's stretch our quads. Like old school high school football style. That's what Sean Payton's old school guy. The 49ers don't even stretch. And so you have the Broncos on one side stretching their whole team out there, blowing the whistle, counting it down, clapping it, like all that stuff. And you just got 49ers just chilling, not even out on the field yet. It's a completely different mindset to how practice is operated. Sean Payton, like even so you've got, even whenever they went team, on the 49ers field where they're on offense and the Broncos are on defense, they finished 20 minutes before the Broncos did on offense on the other field. And Sean Payton went over the time period. Like, I would argue the Broncos offense probably ran 30, maybe 35 more plays than the 49ers offense did. During the same time, during the same periods, side-by-side fields, like, I'm just telling you, this is who Sean Payton is. This is a Sean Payton versus Kyle Shanahan, the mode, the attitude that we want to maintain at practice. Shanahan's lackadaisical. He's joking with Ricky Pearsall as one-on-ones are happening. Sean Payton's screaming at everybody the entire practice. So I'm not saying one is right, one is wrong. I'm saying they're just diametrically opposed ideas to the construction of how practice should function. Not saying one's right or wrong. I'm saying the tone was set by one side. I'm not a Sean Payton fan by any stretch, but if you want to talk efficiency and attitude and tempo, yeah, Sean Payton won the day. Does that mean he's a better head coach? I don't think so. I do think Sean Payton's a good coach, but I think he's a little bit of a turd. But, like, I don't know. I'm just saying the way the team's attitudes and all those things panned out played into practice today. Now, probably my favorite aspect was, you know, where I was at, I was stacked on top of the 49ers defensive field where the Broncos offense was. And so it's time for one-on-ones, and Fred Warner just goes and stands right on top of the ball and just like freaking Achilles, you know, and freaking Troy, just like, Hector, like he was staring down everybody on the Broncos field. He was staring down the quarterback, Bo Nix. He was just waiting for anybody, like, who wants to go first? So one-on-ones happen, and, you know, the first player runs out there against Fred Warner. He gets a pass breakup. Everybody goes wild. I mean, Fred Warner set the tone, and then after that, things kind of slowed down a little bit. But, you know, Fred's going to be Fred. Like, it was just, there is no doubt who the number one alpha or whatever on that field for both teams. It was Fred freaking Warner, and it was not close. Like, everybody knew Fred is him, and it was absolutely beautiful. So during one-on-ones, and now understand, you have right in front of me is the Denver offense versus 49ers defense, and then catty corner to me is the 49ers offense versus the Broncos defense. So I'm trying to get rep to rep to rep, but primarily focused on defense. So these are the notes and the plays that happened. Warner pass breakup, amazing. Luter burned right off the bat. And he put himself up the front of the line. He was talking mess, 26 was. Jumps himself to the front of the line and just gets torched right off the bat. Dean Winters, very nice, versus a rail route, which is basically, a lot of people call it a wheel, which it's not, where the running back basically runs downfield. CMC does it all the time on a deep pass. Dean Winters cut it off perfectly. Absolutely incredible. Jalen Graham gets out there, gets burnt, not even within 5 yards on a quick out route. Watkins, touchdown fade. Through contact. This wasn't the play that was, you know, put out there by the 49ers media. Watkins had a damn day. Nick Martin torched for a touchdown, not close. Next rep, you know, RJ Harvey was out there, got him again. And it was like, you see D Winners, Fred Warner, amazing coverage, amazing coverage. Then Nick Martin's out there and it's just like, whoa, he's not getting these guys in flag football. It's something he's got to work on. The 49ers ask a lot of their linebackers in coverage. Oklahoma State didn't do that, and he's coming off an injury. He has the athleticism and speed. He's just got to work on the fundamentals. So I don't think that today was a good practice for Nick Martin, but it was very clear the difference between what Nick Martin's deficiencies were in coverage versus D. Winters' strength. D. Winters is a coverage guy, and I think that that's what's so important there. Isaiah Hodgkins, more quality that him and Russell Gage – these two vets just keep stacking good practices, man. Richie Grant had a nice pass breakup. I didn't think he did well on team, but he was getting all the reps with the ones. Stone Bland got absolutely burnt for a deep ball. Love Stone Bland, but again, he's kind of run game stud, special team stud. He's got to work on coverage. That is a deficiency that he got to work on that. Kawachipto saying that Mikael Williams has a hyperextended knee, according to a report. That makes sense. Hopefully nothing was torn and it's just precautionary. That's what you're hoping for there. Gage, nice move, wide open in one-on-ones. Then it goes to 7-on-7. So no linemen. Linemen were working all the way to the opposite side of the field. I couldn't get a vantage point. So you'll have to listen to some other reporters that were there for that. I was up to 7-on-7, which is backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks, all that stuff. CMC, Texas route, wide open, first play, awesome. Winters and Warner on top of a check down, incomplete. Great. Upton, nickel on top of the check down. It just read it perfectly. I could not be more excited about Upton Stout, guys. I'm telling you, if you want excitement and you're trying to, like, what's the positive? I'm telling you right now, Upton Stout, Jordan Watkins, those are your two, like, young. You want to throw CJ West in there a little bit. Kind of had that one home run sack play, but those are kind of the two guys. Upton Stout and Jordan Watkins were consistent winners almost every single rep today. Kittle, you know, had a drop across the middle, was a little behind him, kind of almost like a Dwight Clark. It was Dwight Clark day. Got my Dwight Clark hat. Shout out to infiltrator.com. But it was kind of behind him, didn't come down with it. Upton, perfect switch. Quarterback had to go elsewhere. Like, he was the first read. This was the bunch trips play where I was gushing. I was just like, hell yes, because I saw his eyes read from 2-to-1, which is exactly what you're supposed to do in that bunch trip situation. Bo Nix looked at him. That was his first read, kind of like pump faked it and had to move off his progression. Upton Stout jumped it. It was perfect. Nick Martin, no depth on drop, 12-yard curl behind him, looked lost. Trey Brown ran with a shallow crosser for a 2-yard gain. Trey Brown's putting together some solid practice. Then what was funny is they flipped the play. The Broncos ran the exact same play, just mirrored it from the other side. And Jacob Robinson had to run with the shallow crosser. Couldn't do it. It was a 12-plus yard gain. It was just kind of like, okay, Trey Brown gets it. Jacob Robinson playing a new position. Not there yet. More 7-on-7. And this was funny because they took like a quick break, put the ones back out there, and Bo Nix scrambled a little bit, threw a you know, caught the pass, whatever else. But Robert Saleh runs up to Bo Nix and starts talking trash a little bit, you know, not too animated, but basically said, like, man, we would have had you. And then Bo Nix starts chipping back. So, like, you're starting to get a little play back and forth between the coaching staff or whatever. That was cool. Bo Nix had a pretty damn good day, though. I ain't going to lie. Next up, let's see here. Dallas Flowers was beat by Courtland Sutton on a deep end. Courtland Sutton's pretty damn good. Luke Gifford, he just completely de-cleated a tight end. It was just on a little check down, kind of like a stick route. They throw it to the tight end, and he tries to cut in, but Luke Gifford's there, and he just freaking power cleans him. Got a really loud kind of, you know, everybody started chirping right there, but it was awesome. I'm telling you right now, Luke Gifford's going to be a starter. It's just what it is. He's going to be the starter. Gage, nice extended catch, 10 plus yards over the middle, drift route. I mean, it's a Shanahan staple. Pearsall, deep curl, but it was dropped, but it was a lot of contact. Almost came down with it close to the end zone. Nick Martin, awesome outside release on punt coverage. They went and did some indie specs. Nick Martin's looking the part on special teams. So he's kind of paving his way. He's going to make the roster. He's a third round pick, but what's his role going to be early? Well, the role early is going to be special teams and work on coverage to where you can get some playing time from Luke Gifford. That's the role, but he looks so good on special teams. Trey Brown, great in coverage. Robert Beal, awesome in punt coverage. Jacob Robinson got destroyed out of bounds. He really had a bad day. Then they go team. This is the first time they go 11-11. Kalia Davis blown off the ball. Fight almost happens after the first play. Demo and Upton, they get up and they try to start something. Then after that, holding on a defensive linebacker would have been a big play anyway. There was no pressure. That's the 49ers defense. So you got the penalty and you gave up a big play. Next play, Bosa tackle for a loss. I thought that was awesome against RJ Harvey. Met him in the backfield. CMC had a nice Texas route. I mean, CMC's going to get a lot of looks if he's healthy. So hopefully he stays healthy. Tatum Bethune, I thought, had a good day. Nice tackle on a short gain in the run game, and even had some nice coverage drops later. Sebastian Valdez washed down bad, huge giant gap right there in that B gap where he was lined up in the three technique. I could see it. I mean, just caved down. He got blocked all the way outside the end. Would have been a 7-plus yard run before contact. Abdullah had a huge gain on a toss play. Might have been a 20-plus yarder. Amir Abdullah looks really, really bendy. He's got great change of direction, speed, versatility. The way he controls his body is a little bit different than the other backs, and it shows in team, whether it's 49ers, whatever. Like, Amir Abdullah is putting together very, very solid practices, and the fact that he has positives in the run game, pass game, blitz pickup, and special teams, I'm not saying he's going to make it, but, like, you have these two guys that I think the 49ers trust in the running back room, Patrick Taylor Jr. and Amir Abdullah, that don't have much upside. But I think they both look better than Corey Kiner. Not that Corey Kiner looks bad. Corey Kiner has way more upside. It's just he doesn't add a lot in the passing game, and he doesn't add a lot in special teams. No clue how this running back, you know, room is going to work out. I really just don't know. And it hurts with Isaac Grendel out. And again, Jordan James didn't practice today again. So what do you do with that? Let's see here. Next up, another play by Abdullah. Nice check down. Good gain. Would have been 10-plus yards. Purdy sacked. Had the tight end open. Couldn't see it. It just got complete. The offensive line just got blown off the ball. Jake Brindle just got – anyway. There's only so much you can say about that. Darrell Luter torched for their deep comeback, not close to the wide receiver, 20-plus yards. Very next play. Luter killed, next play on a deep crosser, 20-plus yard play. Just like, golly, man, back to back to back. Like, anyway, I don't want to talk about Luter anymore. It's just, anyway, I'm done with that. Jordan Watkins, deep crosser, huge big game, wide open. 17 looks the part, guys. And I definitely was not one that was like, I didn't like the Jordan Watkins pick. That dude, he's winning me over. Can the 49ers trust him week one against a very solid secondary, one of the better secondaries in the NFL, division opponent, Seattle Seahawks? I don't know. But DeMarcus Robinson, Ricky Pearsall didn't get a lot of work today, so that did leave an opportunity open for Hodgins, Gage, and Jordan Watkins, all of them positive practices. Very, very positive. Trey Brown, nice physical coverage. I'm really liking what I see out of 22. Brown, he plays inside, outside corner. It just, can he stay healthy? And he got his leg bumped at one point today, and he was kind of bouncing around holding his leg. And I was like, uh-oh, this is somebody who's missed 39 games in 4 years. But he shook it out, stayed out there, looked great. Patrick Taylor, nice run off tackle, would have been 15-plus. Then the C.J. West sack came in. You know, Mikhail controlled Mitch Wisnowski, Mike McGlinchey really, really well. I really like that. Like, he was stout, man. The worst thing that happened today is definitely that damn injury. I'm really hoping he's okay, because there was a lot of positive to Mikhail's game. Like, he just looks like a bully. He plays like a bully. And whenever he uses his hands, we all know Mike McGlinchey and how he gets, you know, embarrassed all the time. He was just controlling McGlinchey consistently. Anyway, that's what that is. Now, I've got a lot more team notes that I have to get to, but I need to take a drink of water really quick. So right after this, part two of all of my team notes. I still got a page and a half. Let's go.
Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets, with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush Road Trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
All right. Then at this point in practice and team, the 49ers started blitzing defensively. That was a lot of fun. You know, Bryce Huff comes in, just blows up, completely trucked Mike McGlinchey. Just kind of like an overhand hump move, making freaking Bryce Huff look like Reggie White out there. Nice pressure. D. Winters has a huge hit on a screen play. I mean, thumped him. It was awesome because it was a outside the tackle screen to the wide receiver and then kind of cut underneath like a jailbreak a little bit. And Fred Warner played it perfectly, went over the top of his block, forcing the running back to cut inside. And D. Winters was just screaming like a wild banshee and just, man, probably one of the biggest thumps of the day. Everybody got pretty hyped on that one. That was fun. Next up, we had a safety blitz. Jason Pinnock had a nice pressure, maybe sack. If not, you know, Nick scrambled, wasn't a big play either way. I'm always, you know, as a defensive guy, I always want to give it to the defender, but possible sack there. DeMarcus Robinson had a drop pass, tough catch, would have been tough, but didn't come up with it. D. Winters had a nice blitz slash pressure, and Dallas Flowers, perfect coverage. So they aired it out deep. We blitzed. It was single coverage on the outside, and Dallas Flowers ran with his guy step for step, 40-plus yards downfield, incomplete pass. Like, a lot of fun blitzes today. You saw some defensive line stunt moves. You saw a cross dogs blitz with the linebackers. You saw a nickel blitz. You saw a safety blitz. Like, it's fun that you're starting to have some of those. You're starting to have some of the fun wrinkles that they're throwing out there. And you know, you look over and you see the Broncos defense, they're blitzing too. So it was kind of fun to turn them loose a little bit. Kalia Davis, I wrote in my notes, Kalia Davis sucks. Never got off the line. Quarterback scramble. It was one-on-one for Kalia Davis. And it was an obvious pass play. Wide receiver release right at the start, and he never got 1 yard upfield in his pass rush, and Bo Nix just runs straight through the A-gap right past him for like a 10-plus yard scramble. I did not see one positive play from Kalia Davis, who's getting reps with the ones. He's getting reps with the ones, and so it's very frustrating. Ciaran Neal came off a corner blitz, would have had a sack or an incompletion if the quarterback got it away, kind of threw it at the feet of the outlet player. Robbie Chosen, baby. Nice deep catch. I thought that was awesome. That wrapped up the first team, which was the longest part of the practice today. They did some special teams. 49ers punt return rotation. Junior Bergen, first punt returner out there. Jordan Watkins, second. Amir Abdullah, third. Which, man, it's a little terrifying I don't know if there's ever been a team in the history of the NFL to have three rookie punt returners three seasons in a row. You had Ronnie Bell, who was terrible. Jacob Cowan last year, I thought, did a good job. Now maybe Junior Bergen, your seventh round pick, maybe fascinates nobody but me. Obviously, Jacob Cowan's going to be a part of that once he comes back healthy. But right now, it seems like Junior Bergen is the first one up every single time. Team period number two after a quick break. DeMarcus Robinson hit a nice slant for like 10 yards. DeMarcus Robinson's a very good wide receiver. Not sexy, not big plays, whatever else. Just always where he's supposed to be. I really, really feel confident about DeMarcus Robinson. When is that suspension going to happen? Who knows? End around to Pearsall. Huff would have killed him. And this is all in the red zone too. Kittle quick out for 6 yards. Got a first down there. CMC 2 yard run. Nowhere to go. Big overthrow from Purdy to Pearsall on third down. There was a window to throw it, but Purdy just sailed it. Basically just lived to play another down. After that, Kiner run for no gain. Didn't like that. Denver's completely controlling the line of scrimmage in red zone. So many would-be sacks for the Broncos defense all day today. Abdullah, 3 yards. Interception to Robbie Chosen, but defensive interference was called, so that one was kind of weird. They had refs on hand for this portion, and so there were flags, and they did call defensive interference. It was an interception right at the goal line. Tried to fit it in like a tight window. I didn't see who was throwing. I really haven't been paying attention to which quarterbacks are out there as much, focusing on some more of the positions that I think are up for grabs. There have been years where all you pay attention to is quarterbacks, and I hated that. Purdy overthrow again. Christian McCaffrey touchdown on a check down. So that's one, two, I don't want to count how many plays, but it was like 8 plays in red zone before you finally scored a touchdown. And it was just a Texas option route to CMC. You've seen it 100 times. It worked very, very well. He was the third or fourth progression. Offensive line held up good on that one. That was the first touchdown. Very next play, they move it up to the 3-yard line, kind of conversion territory. Touchdown, Jordan Watkins on a quick slant. Then a sack. Pearsall quick out versus Surtain. And this is whenever they left the red zone. So then they went to move the ball period in the middle of the field. The very first play, Pearsall quick out versus Patrick Surtain, 6 yards. And then you didn't see Pearsall again for a long time. Went banged up, just clearly on a pitch count. Juice on an option route for about 7 yards. Then back to Denver's offense. No pressure on Knicks. Hit Sutton for 10-plus yards. It looked like it was almost routes on air. It was really bad coverage, really bad pass rush, just not good. Next play, Upton Stout, great first the run. So stinking tough. And last probably 7 or 8 notes here. Dallas Flowers, nice coverage again, deep, forced incompletion. Kittle had a 10-plus yard catch. Knicks scramble, no pressure, 10-plus yards. Knicks was running all over the place, doing whatever the hell he wanted to. I was very upset. And then probably the play of the day, Ricky Pearsall, deep touchdown versus number 12, not number 2. A great contested jump ball. I mean, it was a 30, 40-yard plus sky ball, kind of Randy Moss style. Two guys go up for it. Not sure who's going to come down, 50-50 ball. Pearsall secured it, and it was awesome. I don't think he played anymore after that day. Alfred Collins, nice pressure, led to an incomplete on a slant pass. Dallas Flowers, physical run stop. Tariq Owens, deep crosser, 20-plus yards. Tariq keeps showing up on the big plays now, especially at the end of practice. It just takes him a while to get, warmed up. Jordan Watkins, another slant. Space, 10-plus yards maybe. Nick Martin, nice fill for no gain. And that is the last kind of note that I had in my book from today's practice. So hopefully I was able to give you somewhat of a snapshot to how practice was today. You're going to hear a lot of takes. And again, I'll double down. Denver was a better team today. They practiced better. They had a better practice completely. Their offense, defense, and special teams. But I don't think that means the 49ers suck. I don't think that means oh, man. I like to have things to coach. And, from a coaching perspective, you've got a lot of stuff to work on. You've got to charge up the O-line, D-line. That's where it starts. I thought the linebackers and secondary played pretty well. I thought the wide receivers played fairly well for the 49ers. It just the quarterbacks played bad today, and the offensive line played bad today. You can't have that. So, I don't think that there are really any hot takes to take away from this. It's just that today the Broncos were more prepared, more excited, brought more energy, and that showed. That doesn't mean the season's lost or any of that stuff. But if you do hear somebody telling you, I shouldn't say that. If you hear somebody tell you the 49ers were really good today, I would question that judgment. I don't think anybody's going to say that was there. And it was cool because, you know, where I was at, I was, you know, talking with Raj and Steph and Brad Graham, had a wonderful time up there. Just so much, like, we're spoiled. And I encourage all of you, man, go listen to these other shows. Go listen to these other takes. See what you can take from them, because they're going to see things that I didn't see, and they're going to have interpretations that I didn't, you know, have. And it's not that I'm right or they're wrong or vice versa. Get the full picture, the whole kaleidoscope of the different takes on today's practice. But the 49ers are a good damn team. And just because today's practice was not amazing and dominant and all that stuff, it doesn't mean it's going to be a bad season. You got a young team and you've got 8 new starters on defense. Like, they're going to be growing pains. That's just going to happen with this team, and no matter what. So let's get them the hell out of the way. Let's figure that out and let's move on. Hopefully Mikel's okay. That's probably the biggest thing. I just hope Mikel's okay. You got to have that dude out there for the season. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun. Really enjoyed. Thank you for your time. And we're just going to keep going live pretty much every single day. And if you're going to any 49ers road games, come party with us. We are hosting events every single road game except for LA, but all 8 other ones. We have parties the day before the game every Saturday from 2 to 6 p.m. And we have premium tailgates with unlimited drinks, top shelf drinks, mixed cocktails, food, everything. And for every event we will ever do, kids are free. All you got to do is go to the TickPick app or TickPick.com, search 49ers Rush. You'll see all of our events. We have a ridiculous amount of events this year. Get your tickets now. Prices only go up. And as soon as you get your ticket, you know, you're locked in, guaranteed entry, all that kind of stuff, giveaways, build the community. We got Frank Gore coming to party with us week 1 in Seattle. So whatever game you're going, you come to New Orleans, that's my birthday. I'm so pumped. We're going to be partying on Bourbon Street. And at our tailgate, we got a freaking seafood station. Are you kidding me? If you guys haven't been out to a 49ers Rush event, please go check out TickPick app, search 49ers Rush. And whenever you check out, type in Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S. You get $10 off. Get $10 off. Come on, guys. Come party with us. So if you or anybody you know is going to a 49ers road game, be a part of the 49ers community. Come party with us. But that's going to do it from us, for us here at Levi's. Time to drive home. And until next time, stay strong, family.